As you get ready to turn on your smart devices and turn in your Bibles to Psalms, would you just help me thank God one more time for our praise team? Help me thank God for our baptism candidates, our media ministry, and to each and every one of you. My brothers and sisters in Christ, it is good to be here. Well, I got one amen on this side over here. But has God blessed anybody in this place? Has God blessed you in any way where you can say it's good to be here? For truly, this is the day the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm so excited to be with you here as we turn our attention in God's word. I want to invite you to join me in Psalm 121. Psalm 121 is where our message for the morning is going to come from. Psalm 121. And when you make your way there, you'll see words similar to these. The psalmist writes, I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. I'm going to go back to that first verse. The psalmist says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? In fact, that's the question that all of us should be able to answer. Where does our help come from? Would you bow your heads with me? Father God, we thank you so much that you've blessed us to be in this sacred space once more, that we might be able to sing praises unto you, for you are worthy of all of our praise. Thank you for blessing us to be here on this day. Now we ask that you would speak to us from your word. Holy Spirit, that you would take control, that we would be receptive soil for the seed of your word, that it might be implanted in our lives, in our minds, that we might produce fruit for your glory, that we might be able to trust in you more, love you more, and love each other better. It's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you know it or not, but it's summertime here in Texas. Not just because of the temperatures that seem to always remind us that we need to vacation in cooler environments, but because this is really a time where families do traveling. Some of you may have just come from traveling. Some of you may be planning on traveling. But this is that time. This is a season in which we try to go and visit other family members, go to other places. And if you have a family like mine, then something typically happens when you gather in the vehicle on your way to your next location. And that is that we have to decide who's going to have control of the radio. Now, I'm a firm believer that the driver has a prerogative to determine what is played on. I have nobody backing me up on this. I'm standing all by myself here. It's okay. All right. It's all right. But nowadays, everyone can have their smart devices, and they get ready to travel, and they have their own playlist. You can download your playlist before you get ready to travel, and you can listen to your music, because it's nothing like traveling listening to the right kinds of songs. Now, I see some of you right now, you're thinking, now, the right kinds of song. That must be the 80s, right? Lewis, maybe the 70s, I don't know. Some of you are 2000s, and so some of you, you reach way, way back. But it is important that you have the right playlist if you're going to travel the best route. It's important for us to have the right playlist if we're going to travel with confidence. And that's really where we're taking our text, because the text is really a song. And many of you in your Bibles, it has the subtitle, this is a psalm of ascent or a psalm of degrees. This is a song that believers would sing on their way to worship. Psalm 121 is really a song that as they would make their pilgrimage, believers who would make their pilgrimage to the holy city of Jerusalem, this was on their playlist. In fact, the Psalms of Ascent were from Psalm 120 to 134. That was the playlist, the Hebrew holy playlist while they were making their way to worship. And here it was, they were in a caravan typically, and they would travel together on their way to over Mount Zion, on their way to Jerusalem, and this was not easily traveled terrain. That as they were making their way to the place of worship, they had to navigate some treacherous peaks and valleys. There's some clefts in the rock. They're making their way as a caravan, and someone raises this song. They began to look at the hills. And as they lifted their eyes to the hills, the question is asked in the song, where does my help come from? Now, I have to tell you, in the context of this text, the hills that generally surround Jerusalem, there are seven mountain peaks. And these mountain peaks are over 2,000 feet in elevation. And so as they looked out, they would see this obstacle that was in their way to get them to the place of worship. And there, looking at that obstacle, they wondered, where does our help come from? Now, I'm talking topography, but that may be the reality of our lives. That sometimes in our life, if we're honest about it, as we look out in the distance, we may see some terrain that may be difficult to travel. And we may have come in here on this Sunday morning asking the question, where will my help come from? How will I make it on Monday? How will I make it through what I know I'm going to have to go through? How will I get to the other side? The question is asked, as I look at the hills, I need to know where my help comes. Because the presence of trouble is part of the human condition. You don't believe me? Anybody ever been in trouble before? I got three people on this side. Anybody over here? I got two people. Anybody ever been in trouble? We know you're in trouble if you're not raising your hand, because that's some serious trouble. You can't tell the truth in church. I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? I was really thinking it. But we've all been in trouble before. If we're not in trouble, we're coming out of trouble. We're going through trouble. And when we find ourselves in this life, living this life, there are some contexts, some conditions that I have to tell you that only God could help you get out of. That's really what he's saying here. He says, my help comes from the Lord. And why should we turn to the Lord for help? Because the Lord wants to help us. I want you to understand this, that God cares so much about you that there's nothing that you go through that God doesn't want to help you through it. He is the source of our help. Isaiah 41 and 10, he says, fear not. God says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Listen to what God wants to do for those who place their trust in him. He says, I want to help you. I'm here to help you. In fact, the truth is, all help comes from God. See, we all need help, and God is our help. He is the source of everything that we need. And when you find yourself facing an obstacle that seems to be greater than you, make sure you have the right playlist going on in your mind to remind you of where your help comes from. Because when you realize where your help comes from, then you know that there's no obstacle greater than he who is your help. That's in the text, because he says, my help comes from the Lord who made, verse 2, heaven and earth. This is good news. It's good news because it tells us that as he's traveling, that he's not looking for the hills to help him. His help can't be found in the caravan that's traveling with him. So he turns to the creator of the hills to be able to help him. Come here. Let me holler at you for a moment. No matter what you're going through, it is not greater than the God who created you. Amen. I want you to hear me. He says, the Lord, not just anyone. He says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. That the Lord is more than competent, that God has the power to help, that God is able to help, that God cares, and get this, he can help. There's nothing that God cannot help us get through, and God wants us to feel so confident in his ability to help us that we run to him first when we find ourselves in a difficult place. The psalmist said in Psalm 18:6, he says, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. God wants us to have that kind of bold confidence that no matter what we're facing in this life, that we have confidence enough in God to know that he will be there to help us. We see it all through the biblical text. We saw it with a woman who had a medical issue, and she was looking for Jesus. And when she found Jesus, she knew that he would be able to help her. So she touched the hem of his garment, and her medical issue was dried up. We know in a biblical text that there's somebody with a testimony called Bartimaeus. He was blind, but he went to Jesus for help, and Jesus helped him by restoring his sight. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. If you are in need of help, which all of us are, from time to time, we'll need help, that we have God who is the source of our help. But not only is God our helper, that's point one, I hope you caught it, is right there in text, but the second point is right there also in the text. Look at verse 3. God is also our keeper. God is our helper, and God is our keeper. God is our, you got it, and God is our, all right, here we go. God is our keeper. He says that God will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. But not only is God an available help, but God doesn't get tired on the job. That he is watching over you. He will not slumber. He says, no, he who keeps you does not slumber, nor does he sleeps. I love this text. Because he says to us that God is so attentive to his children, so attentive to you and I, that he never takes his eyes off of us. That he is right there to keep us. Look at verse 3, that he will not let your foot be moved. I like this text. Because it reminds us that as God is not only our helper, but also our keeper, is that he's able, get this, to steady you even when you're in unstable environments. That he's able to hold you together when it looks like everything around you is falling apart. Let me check for a moment. Anybody ever had one of those days like when it could go wrong, it did go wrong, and everything around you went wrong, but then you were able to call on God and God... None of y'all, let me check over here. Have you ever been there before where you were giving everybody a piece of your mind and yet God still kept you in your right mind? He steadied you. He stables you. It's in the text where he says he will not let your foot slip. He won't let you stumble, because when you're in God's hands, you're on a firm foundation. He holds us. He keeps us. He's our stability. That when we have our life in Christ and we experience uncertainty, and we can always be certain that we're not in it by ourselves, because he holds us. Psalm 37 and 23 says, the steps of a man are established by the Lord when he delights in his ways. Get this, though he fall, he shall not be cast headlong, for the Lord upholds his hand. God is, we trust in him. He has holy monitoring of your life. That God has you under his constant care. I saw this the other day. I went to visit Dr. Andy. I went to visit a couple at Methodist Willowbrook. They just had a child. They just had a baby, and I was there to visit them. I saw the baby. We took pictures. We prayed together. Paul, it was a great time. It really was. We enjoyed this time together. New baby was born. Everybody made those faces, and we wonder what the baby think like when they look at our faces, you know. But making all these faces at the baby, and I'm ready to roll out. So I'm leaving this hospital room, and I'm making my way out. And as I make my way out of the hospital room, I'm trying to get to my next appointment. And so I began to get to the exit door. I'm following the signs, and I pushed the door, but the door wouldn't respond. You got to understand, I got things to do. I got people to see. I got other people to visit. And so I pushed the door again, and the door wouldn't respond. Now, I know that this is the door that I came through, and so I know this should be the door that I leave out of, and yet this door wasn't responding. All of a sudden, I paid attention, and there's some lights flashing all over the place. Lights are flashing all over the place in this particular department, and the nurse looks at me like something was wrong with me. I'm looking at her like something's wrong with her because the door is supposed to open when I pushed the door, and it didn't open. She said, sir, you can push it as much as you want, but the department is on lockdown. I said, why is the department on lockdown? She said, well, you see all those lights flashing? That's a pink code. I said, a pink code? I said, well, listen, I'm a pastor. I didn't do anything wrong. You let me out of here. And she said, no, it's a pink code, because when a pink code goes off, she said, that means that something happened with a monitoring system that's on the baby's ankle. I'm trying to get you somewhere for a moment. She said, there's a monitoring system on every child that is born in this hospital, and there's an ankle bracelet on them, but if anyone moves that bracelet, the system is set to where everything will shut down, will lock down, that what's in stays in, and what out stays out. I'm trying to help you understand something, that when somebody moves the monitoring system on the baby, then all of a sudden the entire department shuts down. Every door is locked to keep what's in that's supposed to be in, and to keep what's out what's supposed to stay out. Come here. I'm just trying to help you here. The reality is that you're under God's monitoring system, and if anything happens in your life, God is so much God that he's able to keep what's supposed to be in, and to keep out what's supposed to be out. He keeps in joy and hope and love on the inside. He keeps out worry and stress. Why? Because he's always monitoring those who have placed their trust in him. This is why we ought to place our trust in him, because God not only is our helper, but God is our keeper. He safeguards us. He continually watches over us. And check out what he says in verse 4. He says, so behold, he who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. God works the night shift. One of the greatest expressions is when we're able to, even in the midst of the nighttime, understand that God is right there with us and that he is for us, that he safeguards us. Isaiah 40 and 28 says, have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator, to the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases his strength. Get this. He says, you ought to behold it. It's right there. That perhaps sometimes the reason many of us are succumbing to our stressors and our worries and are feeling the weight of anxiety is because we've passed too quickly over that first word in the fourth verse. It's right there. He says, behold. That means realize. That means come to an awareness that the same God who's kept the believers of old is the same God who's able to keep you right now. That God is so faithful that those who trust in him He will never leave you. He won't forsake you. And look what he pulls up in God's spiritual resume. He says, the one who kept Israel is the same one who keeps you. The one who keeps the community of faith, the people of Israel. You know a little bit about them, don't you? In Exodus, God sends Moses to deliver the people of Israel from Egyptian captivity. And you see God's hand of faithfulness through all of that, because he sends plagues within Egypt to help Pharaoh understand who the real God is. Then God then escorts his people out of Egyptian captivity. They get to a dead end called the Red Sea. Moses looks to God. God says, Moses, what do you have in your hand? He says, stretch it out in your hand, and the Red Sea opens up, because God makes a way for those who place their trust in him. He took care of Israel through a Red Sea, brought them to the promised land. Come here, I'm trying to help you understand something, that he will also take care of you. That no matter what you're going through, what bondage you may find yourself in, God is able to pull you out, deliver you, and bring you into his presence, so that you would know him as your personal keeper. It's all about personal. He says, notice, he says, the Lord is your keeper. That's personal. That means I must first have a personal relationship with God to know him on this personal level. That when I come to Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, then I have the assurance that he will be my protector. This word he uses for keep, he uses over 7 times, called shamar, which means he will safeguard you. He'll hold you. He'll keep you secured in him. Later on, he goes on to say, the Lord, verse 5, is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. It says, the sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Let me show you how proficient our God's protection is over those who choose to trust in him. That when you choose to trust in God, God will be a shield and guard for your life. That God will not only look over your life, but he will keep you. Have you ever been there? I mean, really, have you ever been there where you didn't know how you were going to make it out? And then you called on the Lord, and the Lord made a way out of no way. Have you ever driven in Houston? I'm just checking. And you didn't know who cut you off or why, but all of a sudden you called out to the Lord, and he makes a way for us. Why? Because, y'all, God keeps us. That no matter what we're going through, no matter what we're faced with, we have a God who wants us to come to him with everything and to trust him, to know that he is the one who is able to secure our lives. The text says he will not allow the sun to strike you by day, because in this arid climate where they were making their way to the holy city of worship, there wasn't a lot of shade that was provided in this arid environment. And so the psalmist looks down and says, you know what? There are some elements in the environment that could be harmful to us, but when you've placed your trust in God, God will protect you from that which was intended to harm you. I'm still in the text, because it says the sun will not strike you by day. He didn't say the sun will be removed. He didn't say the sun would no longer be present. He said that the ill effects that will come from the elements of the sun won't be to affect you. What am I getting at? The reality is that there are certain things you will come to, and you'll see it in your life, and it seems as though it is intended to hurt you or destroy you. But when you have your trust in God, then he's able to protect you even from the elements that come against you. But not only elements, but also the enemy that may come against you. That's what he talks about. He's your protector at night. That God not only is with you in the daytime, but he's also with you at night. That at night, walking through the mountainsides, there were those who had marauders. They were willing to set up ambushes on people so that they could take advantage of them when people could not see them coming. The enemy is like that sometimes, where he wants to ambush you as though you can't see him coming. But even though you don't see him coming, when you place your trust and faith in God, God can keep you even from when the enemy is trying to attack you. He is our keeper. That's why David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. When you've placed your hope in Christ, when you've given Jesus Christ your life and he's the Lord over your life, then you will know him as the Lord who helps you in your time of need, as the Lord who always keeps you. Always keeps you. That's why it's important for us to stay connected to him. That as you're going through this life and you're playing that playlist in your mind of where is God in my time of trouble? Where is God while I'm going through? You keep playing it in your mind so you remind yourself that God is my helper, God is my keeper, and I'm always going to stay connected with God. That's why we pray. That's why we sing praises unto him. That's why we come to him, because some of us know the reason I've made it as long as I have in this life is because God has been keeping me. The reason I don't look like what I should look like given what I've been through in this life is because God has been keeping me. The reason why I still come to worship on a Sunday morning, no matter what else I do, is because I have a testimony that God has been keeping me. Is there anybody in here that's your testimony that in all that I've been through, all the years that I've lived, God, my life is a testament that God has been keeping me? I get excited about it. I don't know. I can't get excited for you. I get excited for me because I know what God has taken me through. I know what God has kept me from. I know that God has been keeping me. And it's important for us to stay connected to him. Because when we're connected to him, we realize just how much he protects us. I shouldn't ask this. I'm asking though. Any Astro fans? Okay, I got a few Astro fans out here. I love the Astros. I love the Astros. I love to see them win, but every now and then they don't win. And when that happens, I know that my mind starts to drift. I don't know if that happens with you, but my mind starts to drift, and I began to look at the players in the outfield and those who are in infield. I'm looking at all the bases, and my mind just starts to drift. It happened that way when I was looking at the game not long ago, and I was checking it out, and all of a sudden I realized something. And all the players in the field, I'm looking at everybody doing their thing, but I noticed all of a sudden I began to focus on the catcher, because something about the catcher that was different from everybody else on the field. I know you realize this, that the catcher, the one where the bat is being swung all in front of them, the catcher is the one that's there, but he's always on his knees. And I noticed the one who's always on his knees is the most protected one in the field. I hope you caught that. I'm just trying to help you understand, brothers and sisters, that God is our keeper, and when we connect our lives to him, then we're always reminded just how much he's able to protect us. He's been keeping you because he wants you to know him personally as your keeper. He's the source of all of our help, because our help comes from him. And when you place your trust and faith in Jesus Christ to be the Lord over your life, to be both your helper and your keeper, verse 8 says, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. You know, it's argued among scholars that this particular psalm is sung while they're making their way to worship. So they're worshiping on their way to worship. But it's also read in reverse that when they're getting ready to leave worship, they also have this blessing pronounced over them that not only did God keep you on your way to worship, but when you're leaving the space of worship, that God is still able to keep you. He keeps you in your coming in and in your going out. That when you place your trust in him, you leave with his divine protection. And today somebody needs to make that decision that what you're going through, you're going to give your life to Jesus Christ and place your trust in him. And when you do that, you have God's divine protection that will go with you. Not just with you here, not just with you when you go back home or to your place where you're going to eat lunch, but he'll be with you till the end, that he'll transition with you from this life into eternal life because he's a keeper. That means he doesn't throw those away who place their trust in him. And he doesn't walk away from us. No, he's the God who faithfully declares that he will be with us. And he wants you to know that. He wants you to know him personally so that your life will be lived from this point on as a testimony of how God is able to secure those who've placed their trust in him. That's really what I want to invite you to do. It's one thing to hear what God has done in the lives of others. It's another thing to know what God can do in your life. I don't know what you're going through, but I know whatever it is, God can deliver you through it. Would you bow your heads all over the building? And whatever that is, that is that struggle, whatever that obstacle is in your life, the greatest obstacle is that of sin and the bondage that sin has on us. But when you come to Jesus Christ, come to him personally, placing your trust in him, you'll come to know that he's able to help you, for through him you have forgiveness. He's able to help you because through him you have peace. He's able to help you because when you come to him, he can lift your burdens and lift your anxieties and lift your stressors. He can lift the guilt of sin and shame. He gives you a brand new life.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.